plenty of goals and plenty of drama on match day two. On Tuesday, Real Madrid won in Dortmund thanks to two goals from you-know-who.
Here comes Cristiano Ronaldo. It's a tight angle, but he whips it in! And that might seal it for Real Madrid. It's Borussia Dortmund 1, Real Madrid 3.
Whilst in Group G, Porto put 3 past Monaco.
Marega back across, and it is 3. Swept in by Miguel Leon. What a night for Porto in the Principality. Monaco 0, Porto 3.
Then on Wednesday, Chelsea came from behind at the Estadio Metropolitano against Atletico with a sensational injury time winner.
Alonso in the air, Batshuayi scores! Could be the last kick of the game! Chelsea have got it right at the end here! Atletico Madrid 1, Chelsea 2.
In the French capital, it was the power and precision of the Paris Saint-Germain strike force that ended up being the difference against German champions Bayern.
Puts it in the area, and then the follow-up is from Neymar, who cannot miss. And surely the points are going to go to Paris. It's Paris Saint-Germain 3, Bayern München 0.
Elsewhere, there were wins for Tottenham, Besiktas, Manchester City, Napoli, Sevilla, Manchester United, Barcelona, Basel, Celtic, Roma, and Juventus. We'll hear from key players and head coaches, including Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, Eden Hazard, and Jose Mourinho, right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and there's so much to talk about after a thrilling match day two. European football expert Paul Saffert is here. Paul, so many goals over the two nights, and Chelsea with that late winner at Atletico have really stolen the headlines.
It has done. There's just so much stories everywhere. Basel beating Benfica 5-0. Who would have thought it? Celtic was a sensational away win. Manchester United playing sensationally, but I think the other two results we're looking at, Chelsea with the beating Atletico with the last kick of the game, Atletico in their first European game in the new stadium, and of course Paris blowing Bayern away in a way that people might have thought that Paris would win, but I don't know if anyone thought they'd win quite comfortably as they did.
Okay, let's go through all of the results from match day two. Tuesday, Group E, Spartak 1, Liverpool 1, Sevilla 3, Maribor 0. Group F, Manchester City 2, Shakhtar 0, Napoli 3, Feyenoord 1. Group G, Monaco 0, Porto 3, Besiktas 2, RB Leipzig 0. And in Group H, Borussia Dortmund 1, Real Madrid 3, Apoel 0, Spurs 3. On Wednesday, Group A, CSKA Moskva 1, Manchester United 4, Basel 5, Benfica 0. Group B, Paris Saint-Germain 3, Bayern 0, Anderlecht 0, Celtic 3. Group C, Atletico 1, Chelsea 2, Karabag 1, Roma 2. And in Group D, Juventus 2, Olympiacos 0, Sporting 0, Barcelona 1. Well, let's start our review of Tuesday's action in Group H with Dortmund against Real Madrid at the BFL Bay Stadion, watched by Richard Connolly.
There's more space here for Bale. Oh, it's a terrific goal! First time, the left foot volley from Gareth Bale, and it whistled into the top corner. And the goal that had to come has arrived for Real Madrid. Dortmund 0, Real Madrid 1. Kroos can thread one through for Bale, which he has done. Ronaldo's waiting in the centre. Here he is, and he scores again. Ronaldo doubles the holder's advantage in Dortmund.
Castro on that right-hand side, he whips it a dangerous ball, and
Aubameyang's there. The goal back for Dortmund. Are they on the comeback trail against Real Madrid again? Here comes Cristiano Ronaldo. It's a tight angle, but he whips it in. And that might seal it for Real Madrid. It's Borussia Dortmund 1, Real Madrid 3.
The game plan is like we usually do. We want to press high to get the ball back as soon as possible. But we arrived every time a step too late. And they moved the ball around really quick and really easy. And they did a great job.
As Dortmund head coach Peter Bosch there after their 3-1 home defeat to Real Madrid, the Spanish newspapers are very complimentary of the way Madrid played. Süddeutsche Zeitung in Germany, one of the newspapers there, too naive for Real Madrid. They were very offensive-minded in that game, Borussia Dortmund. How do they pick themselves up now, Paul, for the upcoming doubleheader with Apoel in this competition?
Well, they'll feel confident. Apoel themselves had a very difficult start to the competition. We'll discuss their game with Spurs in a little while, but The thing that went wrong for Dortmund really was, I mean, they like to press in the front. That's how Peter Bowles has got them setting up. Unfortunately, Real Madrid were able to counter-attack with just too much pace for them to deal with. They were a little bit short. Maybe it's still a team getting used to their new coach and not quite in the shape he wants them to play the kind of football he desires. And that allowed Real Madrid to break so many times, and in particular for Ronaldo to get those two second-half goals in his 150th European game. Now it's 112 European goals. And that's what the only consolation for Dortmund is, they probably won't play anybody else until they play in Real Madrid again, who attack with quite the vim the Real Madrid do. I guess there's no other team in the world. This is the team that's won the UEFA Champions League for the last two seasons. So that's a consolation for Borussia Dortmund. Even though it's a painful defeat, of course, the second defeat, they're now sat 6 points behind and, you know, Real Madrid and Tottenham. And they can't afford to drop any points at all when they play those two games against Apo, if they've got any hopes of finishing in those top two positions, which a team like Borussia Dortmund surely do.
Meanwhile, the bad news for Dortmund as well is that Spurs picked up another victory, 3-0 at Apoel Nicosia. Harry Kane's hat-trick made it 5 goals in just 2 games for the Tottenham striker in this season's competition, a feat that led manager Mauricio Pochettino to compare him to the great Cristiano Ronaldo.
Cristiano is fantastic. He's one of the best. And Harry is one of the best and will be better because he's so young. But I cannot joke about that because both are fantastic. It's this type of player that you want in your team, Harry Kane and Cristiano Ronaldo, no? In the same team.
A first UEFA Champions League hat-trick for Harry Kane. A left foot, right foot and a header. Perfect hat-trick, as many call it. And he's the top scorer in the group stage already. He will come up against Ronaldo on match day 3. Real Madrid against Spurs is going to be a featured game on match day live. Should be a thrilling encounter between those two sides at the Bernabeu.
As you say, two teams attacking well, scoring plenty of goals in both their opening games against Dortmund and Apoel. They've both beaten fairly comfortably already. Tottenham, of course, in that first game at Wembley, Sadio had problems playing at recently, but not against Borussia Dortmund. And Harry Kane, a huge reach for that. 2 goals in that first game, a hat-trick. At Apoel, we didn't make things easy in that first half for Spurs at all. Tottenham, a team maybe been a little bit hot and cold this season compared to last season, I feel. But in the UEFA Champions League, they've looked fantastic, particularly. And Harry Kane has been amazing all season. He's one of several strikers, actually, we're going to be discussing in this podcast. And Ronaldo's already been one, who are really in that rich vein of form and scoring goals. And 5 goals after 2 games, I believe, is equals UEFA Champions League record. No one's had more of that after two games. Whether he can keep it up against Real Madrid, we'll have to wait and see. But this is a striker we've seen before getting rich veins of form, but never this early in the season.
So Spurs go to Real Madrid next on Tuesday the 17th of October. Apoel will host Borussia Dortmund ahead of their doubleheader, if you like. Group G now, let's talk about Porto. What a victory for them. 3-0 at Monaco. Vincent Aboubakar with 2 of the goals on Tuesday. Mark Scott, watch this one.
Long throw, whipped in. Not been cleared, good hit, well saved, and Aboubakar denied, but in. Porto's main man is on target once again. Vincent Aboubakar blasts the visitors in front. It's Monaco 0, Porto 1. Marega for Aboubakar, it's 2. Porto double their lead. Vincent Aboubakar with his second of the game. Victory now, Porto. Marega back across, and it is 3. Swept in by Miguel Leon. What a night for Porto in the Principality. Monaco 0, Porto 3.
Well, it was a brutal defeat for Monaco in the end to lose at home to a Porto side who bounced back. Considering Porto were comprehensively beaten by Besiktas on match day 1. It seems such an impressive result from Sergio Conceição to go there and get a result against a Monaco team that have dazzled over the past 12 months.
Well, that's the thing, and even this season they've dazzled, and Radamel Falcao in particular. I think going into the game you're talking about just how, I mean, Mbappe may have left, but Radamel Falcao has just continued to score goal after goal after goal this season. And you thought that would be the case against the Porto team who hadn't looked at their best, but there they were. It was Aboubakar, of course, sort of sent out on loan last season, a player who people wondered if he was going to sort of start fulfill the potential we saw when he first started to play that number 99 shirt when he first came into the UEFA Champions League reckoning. But he's found his form again, and Conchessa has also maybe revised other players like Brahimi as well. And this was the Porto team that, of course, matched that scoreline against Monaco from the 2004 final. A great night in their history then. This could be a very, very important night as well, because it's a group that's very, very open. They're now second, 2 points ahead of Leipzig and Monaco, and 3 points behind Besiktas. But Porto have given themselves a great chance of that result, because, of course, they surely know that whatever happened in the group, they'll be going for that final game at home, with a home game against Monaco, probably knowing that whatever happens, they'll be able to get a result there and go through.
Leipzig, meanwhile, lost 2-0 at Besiktas. Ryan Babel and Talisca with the goals. Monaco take on Besiktas next. That should be a very good game indeed, Paul Taffer.
It should be. As you say, it's Monaco at home, and that first game, Besiktas showed they could go away, because they went away to Porto and won, which it's one thing to do it in your own stadium, as Besiktas did against Leipzig, but they are to go and do it away from home is another thing. And Monaco, they might have memories of what's happened at Stade Louis II on Tuesday night against Porto, and Besiktas playing with a lot of confidence, just as they did when they won the Turkish title last year. And they've got a lot of players who are playing very well. Talisca, and it was a great move that led to that goal as well. Charisma playing very well, and yeah, Besiktas fully deserving of their 6 points so far.
Okay, so the fixtures then for match day 3: Leipzig against Porto, Monaco against Besiktas on Tuesday the 17th of October. Let's turn our attention now to Group F. Manchester City with that 2-0 victory against Shakhtar Donetsk. Two goals and a clean sheet for Pep Guardiola's side, but the City manager insisted the win was anything but routine.
We don't watch the Ukraine league, so the people there recognize him. But he's a team always playing the Champions League for the long, long time ago, and always they have a good players. They have a 7-8 Brazilian guys, and all of them, they are a good quality. We beat a tough team, a real tough team.
Pep Guardiola there. He said ahead of the game that it would be tough, and City found it tough going until Sterling wrapped it up in the 90th minute. Aguero did have a penalty save. Looking at the papers this morning, Paul, a lot of the focus has been on Kevin De Bruyne and his performance. The Times, for example, with their headline, De Bruyne's stunning strike, but City in cruise control. And despite the goals of Jesus and Aguero, it seems that Kevin De Bruyne, above anyone, is getting all the praise for City this season.
Well, what he does as well, so often we've seen, I'm thinking back to when they played Paris in the UEFA Champions League a few years ago in the knockout in the quarterfinals, I think, and then it looked like there wasn't really anything happening, and he just sort of created something outside the box, scored and turned the game, and that's what he's capable of doing. That's exactly what he did against Shakhtar again in the first half. Shakhtar maybe had outpassed Manchester City, and it's not often you see a Pep Guardiola team outpass. They weren't having the possession they like to have. And there were some words, no doubt, for Guardiola at half-time, but De Bruyne, just one moment of magic, it just slightly changed the game after they had a penalty, scored another goal. It doesn't mean that Shakhtar didn't threaten to equalise. But in a game like that, in the game that's tough, you need someone that can really come up with a bit of magic. Aguero, you create a chance for him and he'll take it. And Gabriel Jesus can often produce it as well. But it's De Bruyne is the player maybe you, in the Manchester City team, you most think you give him the ball, he's going to create something out of nothing. And once again, he did it.
City will take on Napoli on match day 3. Two of the most entertaining teams in European football right now, and Napoli reminded everyone of what they can do with their 3-1 success over Feyenoord. All three of their front three, Insigne, Mertens, Callejon, getting on the score sheet against the Eredivisie champions. Notable considering that Arkadiusz Milik, one of their centre forwards, is out for 4 to 6 months. Feyenoord will host Shakhtar next. Shakhtar, remember, they did beat Napoli, so they do have 3 points on the board. City top of Group F. In Group E, it was an uncomfortable night in truth for Liverpool. 1-1 at Spartak. Felipe Coutinho with their equaliser after Fernando's wonderful free kick for an injury-ravaged Spartak side. Despite another draw leaving Liverpool on 2 points from two games, Jurgen Klopp is still confident of progressing from the group.
In the group stage, the only target you have is to go through the group to the next round, and that's still possible for us. We know now more about two teams in the group. Both games we could have or should have won, but we didn't. That's at the end always our fault, but we will carry on and carry on like this, and or even better. So it was not a perfect game, but a lot of good things.
Jurgen Klopp called Firmino, Salah, Mane and Coutinho the Fab Four ahead of kickoff. A nice Beatles reference, but the Daily Express in England newspaper said the Fab Four failed to hit the high notes. And in fact, the Russian newspaper Sport Express ran the headline "Survive" because Spartak really were hanging on. If you're Jurgen Klopp, how worried are you, Paul, that from your first two games, you've only got 2 points so far?
Well, I think two games they certainly should have won. I mean, he can't be that unhappy with the performances against Sevilla and Spartak. So the better team both times, at least. For once, they didn't particularly leak goals in the way that maybe we've sometimes seen in the Premier League. But as you say, they then didn't take the goals. They're just, the chances went begging in both games when they could have been sat very comfortably on 6 points. They're not. They're sat on 2 points, well in the mix. They've got a couple of games against Maribor now where they'll be looking to get maximum points, and I think four at the very, very least. But ideally for them, six. It's a group where, apart from Sevilla, Liverpool would be looking to go comfortably through, but they didn't come through and get that result in Moscow, which they threatened to, which Manchester United then did to on Wednesday night. But I suppose the only consolation for Liverpool is at least they came from behind, and at least they're looking a bit defensively solid in the European games in the way they aren't always in the Premier League.
So Liverpool on 2 points so far. Sevilla, meanwhile, picked up their first win of the group stage. Wissam Ben Yedder, scorer of a hat-trick, said, "I think that's my fifth professional hat-trick, but it's the most important at home and against a UEFA Champions League rival." Sevilla go to Spartak next. Liverpool are away at Maribor on Tuesday, the 17th of October. Sevilla are top of the group. Next on Match Day Live, then, we'll have analysis and reaction from Wednesday night's matches.
European football is more diverse and multicultural than ever. Our competitions and grassroots projects feature players and fans from all backgrounds. And for UEFA, it's important to communicate that football is for all. Respect is a social responsibility initiative launched in 2008. For the last 4 years, this initiative has featured the message, "No to racism." UEFA is now evolving and expanding this message in an effort to promote inclusion, diversity and accessibility across not only ethnicity, but also gender, age, sexual orientation, all abilities and social backgrounds. The new campaign gives all football lovers in Europe a voice to share what football means to them. The new Respect campaign is called Equal Game. Because everyone is entitled to enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. On the pitch, we're all the same.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Paul Saffer and me, Rob Daly. Let's review Wednesday now. Match Day 2. Let's begin at the Estadio Metropolitano, where Chelsea travelled to Atletico Madrid in Group C. Richard Kaufman, watch this one for us.
It's going to be Koke to take the corner, whipped in at the near post, and the whistle's gone. It's a penalty! It's a penalty to Atletico Madrid, and it's a yellow card for David Luiz! And it's going to be Antoine Griezmann with a chance to score the opening goal in this match. It's Griezmann! Atletico Madrid have their first UEFA Champions League goal in the Estadio Metropolitano! Hazard, who traps it down, he's got Juan Fran to try and beat, gets the cross in, it's a good ball, and there's Morata! Deserved equaliser with the glanced header. The former Real Madrid man scores the first opposition goal in the Estadio Metropolitano, and now he celebrates with Antonio Conte. It's no more than they deserved. It's Atletico Madrid 1, Chelsea 1. Kante gives it to Bakayoko, Bakayoko to Alonso, Alonso in the air, Batshuayi scores! Could be the last kick of the game, Batshuayi scores! Chelsea have won it, surely Chelsea have won this! Dramatic scenes in the Estadio Metropolitano, the Chelsea fans who have come from West London have silenced the home fans, Chelsea have got it right at the end here! Atletico Madrid 1, Chelsea 2.
Well, as Richard Kaufman said there, it was the last kick of the game. Batshuayi, 5 goals in 3, and we'll speak to him in a moment. But first, let's hear from the Chelsea ranks, Alvaro Morata. But first, Eden Hazard as well.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, a good game. Not an easy game, but we did well to the end. We should score more goals today, but 2 is enough. So we are just happy we won the game today. We go back in Stamford Bridge with a lot of confidence for the game on Saturday against Man City.
Today is a very important test for us. We play against Atletico. Atletico, in the last few years, arrived to the Champions League final, and it's a very good test for us. We take the 3 points, and now we can go home, relax, and put the mentality into the Premier League, but it's a massive victory today.
Alvaro Morata there, he says Chelsea need to go home and relax. Richard Kaufman does too after that final goal shot right at the end of Michy Batshuayi. Brilliant drama at the end, Richard, and Chelsea deserve it in your opinion.
Yeah, they did deserve it. I mean, if you look at the statistics, they do tell the story. Chelsea had 18 shots to Atletico Madrid's 11. They had just about the lion's share of the possession. From the very first minute, they looked the likelier candidates, and it was only a moment of madness really from David Luiz that saw them go behind just before half time with the penalty. But there was no panic, and you have to say no panic as well, even with the seconds ticking away, that they found the winner. Because 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, a team in that situation, knowing it was the last seconds of the game, would, given a chance, stick the ball in the penalty area, hope for someone to maybe get a ricochet on it, find a way through. But no, it was all one-touch football, opened up the Atletico Madrid defence. Very cool finish by Michy Batshuayi to score the winner. And yeah, it was it just polished off a brilliant team performance with a fantastic team goal. And Chelsea backing the way for Champions League like they've never been away, really.
Bookended by two Belgians, Eden Hazard with that fantastic performance, made the first goal, having started off in the middle and terrorised Atletico there, then moved out to the left and produced the cross, which got Morata the goal he deserved, because Morata had been threatening all through the game. And then, with about 10 minutes to go, surprisingly, both of them were withdrawn, and Batshuayi, as you say, came on, and he was at the end of that great move, which in the end they played it around the box in the free kick instead of whipping it in. Then it came out, came back again, and eventually they found N'Golo Kanté was able to preside a pass which came to Alonso. Finally, he was able to get to the byline to whip it back, and very calmly taken by the substitute as well. Batshuayi does have a habit of getting important goals, and none more important than this. That may be the goal that's decided the group already.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's only September. Come Kiev and the final in May, we might look back and think differently. But if I'm sitting here right now, and of course they've got back-to-back
matches. They're
going to
win it, are they?
But they've got back-to-back matches with Roma coming up. I mean, it can all look so different even a month's time. But as of now, that performance, they're the first English team to win Atletico Madrid ever. Diego Simeone under Atletico Madrid had only lost one match ever at home. I know it's a new stadium, but it's the same players. And Chelsea came here and were the better team. The least they deserved was a draw. Atletico Madrid, that's their first defeat of the season to anybody. That's an impressive performance. It's a more than impressive result.
Okay, let's hear from the Atletico camp now. Here's left-back Felipe Luis.
I think a tie would be 1-1 would be a fair result, you know. I think they have a brilliant squad. They have a lot of good players. Huge team, a lot of good players on counter-attack, and they defend with a lot of people, so we knew they're going to be a really difficult game. Anyway, and when they score, of course, it's harder than ever in the last second, but we have now to forget that, get better, and we'll try to win the next games, because we still have chances to go.
Felipe Luis, of course, playing against his former club. He was on the books at Chelsea for a brief time. Diego Costa looked dejected in the stands, the new Atletico striker. What do you make to Atletico here, Richard? 1 point from 2 games now. They're in a tricky situation. Carabag next for them away from home.
Yeah, I wouldn't panic yet. No need to push the panic button. This is a competition, of course, they crave. They've been semi-finalists last 4 years, twice in the final. They want to get that trophy. First season in the new stadium, and well, as far as UEFA Champions League is concerned, one match, one defeat. But no need to panic. They're a quality team. They just got beaten tonight by a better team.
Yeah.
But, they're a quality side, Atletico Madrid.
OK, so great result for Chelsea. Chelsea host Roma next on Wednesday, the 18th of October. Atletico go to Carabag. Chelsea top of the group at the moment after 2 wins from 2 as well in Group C. Let's move on to Group B now. Our second feature match on Wednesday saw a heavyweight clash at the Parc des Princes as Paris Saint-Germain entertained Bayern. Mike Shaw was your match commentator for that one.
Neymar to the back edge of the 6-yard box. Opportunity knocks, and Paris Saint-Germain take the lead at the Parc des Princes, and it's Dani Alves, the veteran.
Dani Alves down the right, running by Kylian Mbappe, cuts it to the edge of the area. Cavani!
Wonderful finish by the Uruguayan, and Paris Saint-Germain
extend their lead. Alves still has possession, feeds it to Mbappe inside the area, onto his left foot, back on his right, puts it in the area, and then the follow-up is from Neymar, who cannot miss. And surely the points are going to go to Paris. Neymar with the finish, Mbappe again involved. It's Paris Saint-Germain 3, Bayern München 0.
Superb entertainment above all else from Paris Saint-Germain tonight. Let's speak to Mike Sewell, who was commentator for this one. Mike, wonderful from Paris Saint-Germain, and a lot's been made of the Cavani-Neymar relationship. We also have Mbappe there. The three of them are linking up beautifully.
Yeah, there's no signs of discontent between Neymar and Cavani tonight. We didn't have a penalty incident, incidentally. One thing that Marco Verratti, the Paris midfielder, said prior to this game was we have a chance to send a strong signal. And that was obviously to the bigger teams, the teams with the pedigree like Bayern Munich. And they did that tonight. It was a very, very strong performance, all based on the counter-attack, something that Bayern just couldn't deal with from the very first minute of the game. They kicked off, lost possession inside their own half after being pressed, and eventually Alves got that goal. And that just started things off for Paris, who broke clear so many times. Bayern were pushing forward. In many respects, they'd have done better to have made the ball dead from attacking rather than keeping the ball being kept in play, because that just caused them so many problems during the course of the evening. Paris could have won by more. But saying that, Bayern had so many, they had 18 corners in this game. They had the majority of the possession, almost two-thirds of it, but just couldn't do anything with it. They couldn't find Lewandowski in the box. Lewandowski hardly had any opportunities during the course of the game. And defensively, they were very, very compact, and that just helped them break away at pace. And Mbappe was exceptional. Neymar was very good tonight. And Cavani's goal, well, mouth-watering goal that was. There's already been a bit of reaction from the Bayern camp. Arjen Robben saying that when we push forward, we give them space. It's not always easy to defend against that. And Carlo Ancelotti has followed that up with, we didn't have the power to avoid their counter. We were not dangerous enough and we didn't have the balance. They played the whole game looking for the counter-attacks and we couldn't control it. And one thing that will come out of this will be his team selection. Mats Hummels was on the bench. Jerome Boateng didn't feature at all. Ribéry and Robin were also on the substitutes bench. And in response to his team selection, he said, I don't think my selection was risky. I thought a lot about what the best team was. I know I'll get criticism, that's fine. I thought it was a good lineup for this game.
So maybe the selection was or wasn't risky. Do you think the tactics were or weren't risky? Or do you think it was just the early goal but maybe destroyed whatever strategy they had with that, obviously Neuer out and so many defensive changes?
Yeah, the goal certainly unsettled them, and the way that Paris approached the game definitely unsettled them. But they knew full well the way that Paris played. Even Ancelotti said it himself, we have to be very conscious of their counter-attack. And as he says in his post-match quotes, they just couldn't handle them. They just couldn't handle them tonight. And if Bayern can't handle them, who can?
A very good point indeed, Mike. Thank you very much. Anderlecht are going to have to try on match day three. And Anderlecht not in great shape at the moment. Changed head coach since match day one due to a disappointing start to the season. Beaten 3-0 by Celtic. What a result for Celtic, by the way. A notable away success for them because they had no victories in their last 16 away European games. But they were simply brilliant. Lee Griffiths on the score sheet. Scott Sinclair, Patrick Roberts for a deflected effort flying as well. And the Celtic fans really enjoyed that one. They can start planning for their next trip, which is to Munich on Wednesday the 18th of October. They take on Bayern. Paris, 8 goals, none conceded, 6 points, top of the group, go to Anderlecht. Group D, Juventus 2, Olympiacos 0 and Sporting 0, Barcelona 1. Sebastian Coates' own goal won it for Barca. Juve needed two of their many striking options to win it for them, Paul Saffa. An important result, you can't help but feel for the Bianconeri, especially given that they got so comprehensively beaten by Barcelona.
Of course, and with Sporting themselves looking a dangerous team despite the results they've had so far. And it took them 69 minutes to score, and Higuain wasn't started. They opted to start with Mandzukic up front with Dybala, who's been in great form. In the end, it didn't work so often. Now they brought on Higuain, and within 9 minutes, he had a goal, and he also made the second for Mandzukic as well and produced what we'll have a look as a fairly comfortable win, but it was anything but for Juventus. Olympiacos, who only changed coach a few days before the game, bringing in Takis Lemonis for his fourth spell, looked a pretty good team. Now, of course, they've lost to Sporting, lost to Juventus, Olympiacos. It's going to be tough for them with Barcelona coming up. They can take some heart from the way they went at Juventus. And, of course, Juventus have revived their chances after that painful opening defeat at Barcelona.
They certainly have. Nice quote here from Takis Lemonis. We had the opportunity to get more from this encounter, as the Olympiacos head coach. We had just two training sessions in order to prepare, and we focus on our defensive strategy. They actually did have chances to score on the counter, but they come away with nothing, and they're yet to get a point in the group. Barcelona move on to 6 points, top of the section. Juventus and Sporting both on three. They meet in Turin next on match day three. CSKA Moscow 1, Manchester United 4. United blew away the Russian side really in the first half. Scintillating stuff. 5 wins on the spin for Manchester United, and Jose Mourinho was full of praise for his team.
We started so strong. I think we surprised them with our attitude, and we were really strong, and we killed the game. They didn't look as good as they are, but I think because of us. The important thing is 2 matches, 6 points, and a good position in the Champions League. 4 more matches to play, but we start really strong, and we are almost there.
6 points for Manchester United, 7 goals scored so far. 19-year-old Kachaev got a late goal for Tieska in that one, but it seems to be all about Romelu Lukaku for Manchester United. Martial, probably the outstanding performer, but how much of a difference maker is Lukaku for United?
Well, we've discussed it all through this podcast. The fact is that they've been... lots of teams have got strikers who are just in that rich vein of form, that rich vein of confidence. That's exactly what Lukaku is, and exactly what they bought him from Everton to do. And he's been, you just know if you give him chances, he'll score. We see it week in, week out in the Premier League, and we're seeing it in the UEFA Champions League as well. Martial, who isn't always his partner, was combined with him really, really well. And Jose Mourinho now 10 games against Russian opposition, 7 wins, 3 draws. He would have been delighted, I guess, to have had Tchouameni in the group, because it seems to be just guaranteed that Manchester United will pick up points against them.
Crazy game elsewhere in Switzerland in that group. Basel 5-0 winners against Benfica, who finished with 10 men. They fell apart. Brilliant for Basel and their first win in the group. Benfica host Manchester United next. Tough game for them. CSKA Moskva take on Basel on match day 3. Chelsea have beaten Atletico tonight. Let's hear from Antonio Conte.
I think a great satisfaction, because our performance was very good. I'm very pleased for my players, and because to play in this way with this spirit, with this personality, is not simple. And as you know very well, when you go 1-0 down against Atletico Madrid, it's very difficult to come back. Despite this, in the second half we continue to play very well. I repeat, with great concentration, great personality, and we scored twice, and we deserve to win.
Antonio Conte there. We're short on time. Time for Man of the Matches. Richard Kaufman, Man of the Match from Atletico Chelsea.
He was superb. Back from injury, Eden Hazard for me.
Mike Shaw, your Man of the Match from Paris.
Toss up between Neymar and Kylian Mbappe, but Mbappe was always the outlet on the counter-attack, so I'm going to go with him.
And Paul Saffer, the outstanding performer from other games.
Basel's 5-0 win against Benfica was essential. Dimitri Oberlin was just absolutely superb. 2 goals, 1 the penalty. Great performance.
Not bad at all. Gents, thank you very much. Good work with that as well. That's all we have time for on Match Day Live after what was a pulsating match day 2 in the group stage on Tuesday. Real Madrid got their 3-1 victory at Borussia Dortmund. Porto put 3 past Monaco at the Stade Louis II. Then on Wednesday, Chelsea with the last kick of the game beat Atletico in the Spanish capital, and Paris Saint-Germain continued to impress in this year's competition as they swept aside Bayern München 3-0 in the French capital. But for now, from Paul Saffer, Richard Kaufman, Mike Shull, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye from the Match Day Live team.
Here comes Cristiano Ronaldo. It's a tight angle, but he whips it in! And that might seal it for Real Madrid. It's Borussia Dortmund 1, Real Madrid 3.
Marega back across, and it is 3. Swept in by Miguel Layún. What a night for Porto in the Principality. Monaco 0, Porto 3. Puts it in the area, and then the follow-up is from Neymar, who cannot miss. And surely the points are going to go to Paris. It's Paris Saint-Germain 3. Nil.
Alonso in the air, Batshuayi scores, could be the last kick of the game. Chelsea have got it right at the end here. Atletico Madrid 1, Chelsea 2.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.